Hey friends, welcome to the 11th episode of The Art of Letting Go. I'm your host, James Steensma, and releasing this the day after Thanksgiving gives me an opportunity to just take pause and be grateful and thankful for this incredibly beautiful, wonderful life that I've been given the opportunity to live. And I'd like to do that with you today here on The Art of Letting Go, as we not only share the things that we're grateful for, but also to take a moment and reflect on what holidays might look like in this year of all years. So join me now for The Art of Letting Go. I always love this poll that comes out this time of year that asks the question, what is your favorite Christmas movie? And I also sort of laugh when people choose Die Hard as a Christmas movie, because ultimately we know that even if it was on another holiday, whether it's Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day, ooh, that would actually be cool. But the ending of Die Hard still works, right? In fact, unless Santa Claus makes an appearance in the movie or the Grinch is the star, that's probably true of most stories, including my favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It really doesn't matter when it happens because we are talking about a life of events. But at the end of the movie, which is staged around a Christmas tree inside the Bailey home. In fact, quick aside, I love the movie so much I named my male basset hound after the main character, George Bailey. And here he answers to the name of Bailey, should he choose to answer. But in the movie, at the end, we see all of these people, especially his friends and family, chipping in to help him through a financial crisis. But then we start to see members of the community as a whole come and help George discover that every life matters and that no man who has a friend is ever lonely. But what about those times in our lives, especially during the holidays, when we don't have somebody in our community, in our friend circle, in our family, who we can lean upon? And how does loneliness affect our ability to enjoy these times, especially in a year like no other in 2020? I'm interested, as we get to the end of this episode, to hear your thoughts on how you get through the holidays. But let's take a look together and see if there are actionable ways that leaning on others can help us become better at coping, and better yet, of letting go of the hurt and the pain that might come with this time of year. I should probably start by mentioning that Christmas is not my favorite holiday. How many of you have exactly that same feeling? Raise your hands safely if you're in the car. But it might rate third on my list of holidays behind Valentine's Day, which is my birthday as well, but Thanksgiving, which is my favorite holiday. The thing I love about Thanksgiving is it's typically, outside of this year, the time when families can come together, put aside all the garbage that typically eats away at each one of us, that eats away at our ability to function as a unit, as a family, and we can sit down, break bread, enjoy a meal together, maybe a laugh or a story or two, and then go on our merry way. And it's somewhat of a reset, celebrating Thanksgiving, because it reminds us that there is still much worth fighting for and living for in a sometimes dreary world. Christmas for me has gotten so commercial that we've completely forgotten what it's about. Now, my hope is that I'm wrong. And I believe that in a year such as 2020, that At the very least, maybe it will be our reset. And we can remember what it is we celebrate that particular holiday for. And moreover, that perhaps we start to understand how, when we look at that story in the Bible of Jesus' birth, how people came from near and far, people that weren't related to him, to cast their eyes on this newborn child who was sent to save the earth. What a beautiful idea. That people from the community at large would take the time to travel hundreds, if not thousands of miles, just so they could see the newborn king. Now, whether you are a believer or not isn't nearly as important to me as that we understand that that story still means so much to so many people that I don't want it to get lost in the Christmas, if you will, season. And yet you and I know very clearly that it does. But community plays a big role in that story, just like it does in It's a Wonderful Life, just like it seems to do in so many of these Christmas movies that we talk about. But for me, I see community happening more, by definition, around Thanksgiving. And so when at Thanksgiving, we cannot gather together because of mandates, it somewhat breaks my heart because I know that I have family that are quarantining themselves against the potential for a virus. And I mentioned in the last episode how sometimes that even frustrates me, even though I follow those same quarantine rules if I'm exposed, and I protect myself when I'm in public by wearing the mask. So why is it that I get frustrated? I suppose because it is my favorite holiday and I want nothing more than to be with my family when that holiday rolls around. I digress. I do want to take a moment and at least not let that Thanksgiving season pass without mentioning some things that I'm really grateful for. And one of the ones I want to start with is music. I am so grateful for the art of music. There's so many incredible writers and lyricists out there, even today, even though I'm an 80s baby, who are creating incredible music. And I'm thankful that I can have that experience. Even during COVID, some of the best music I've heard in years seems to have come out of this era. I'm thankful for my family and friends. Start with my family. I'm thankful that even though we have not been able to get together in a real way, the way that we would like to and have everybody gather in a room, that there's still love, even when frustrations exist, when hurt exists. We still know that at the end of the day, we love. And there's no stopping that in a family unit. For my friends, we experience the same types of love. We just know that we're not going to likely get together nearly as much until at least COVID starts to dissipate. And we can let that hurt us, or we can at least try to understand that we're all going through this experience together. It's kind of hard to do sometimes. I'm grateful for my wife, who puts up with my intricacies and my crazy ideas, and for my kids, who probably some days have to say, yes, I'm sorry, that is my father. But I hope that most days they say, yeah, man, that's my dad. I'm thankful for my school and for the teachers and administrators that I'm blessed to spend my days with. I have never been around such people who have nothing but the heart for students and the heart for these particular students. It's an incredible experience to be able to go to work and see that just pour out of people. And my wife is a teacher, so I know she experiences the same thing. For me, it's on a more intimate level because I serve in a small school with a very low number of students. And it's incredible. And I could go on and on with the types of things that I'm grateful for people I meet either through the ostomy community or through the liver community, the ability to train people in both of those areas. I could be very open about my doctors and how grateful I am for them. But maybe one thing that you can hear happening is it's very easy to branch outside of my small little circle, my inner circle, which you all are a part of now. But that inner circle that's so critical to each of us and our ability to function, my circle seems to be expanding. Sometimes it looks like an oval, other times it looks like a crater, because it depends on the experience that I'm going through. I love the idea of community, because first of all, it can be as big or small as you need it to be. And notice I said the word need. We may want to, whether this is a depressing time for us or not, we may want to kind of close ourselves off and keep things very insular, very small, to just a core group of people. And that's beautiful. Please do that if that is what you truly want and need. But generally, our need is a little bit greater. What we need in this time, although each of us may have a slightly different need, but it's that idea of community and what it means outside of my nuclear environment, my family, my closest friends. I need a community, especially in these days as we start to go into the winter season. And as we move from Thanksgiving, this literal day where we give thanks, into several holidays, depending on religious affiliation or cultural affiliation, over the next 6 weeks, that we find ourselves needing people. People. Just having a community experience is critical to our ability to make it through. When I look back on 2020, the thing that I'm going to miss the most is the thing I'm most grateful for, outside of course, my family and my friends. And that's music. Live music. I'm going to miss the idea that I saw one concert this year, and it was the week before the COVID restrictions hit. And I'm so grateful that we were able to go do that. It happened to be Stephen Curtis Chapman, happens to be a Christian singer, and we went with our friends Andy and Rebecca. And it was an amazing show of just storytelling. And it was like we were sitting around the table sharing stories with him as he was really telling us the stories from his life, from his growing up, his need for friends and family, his need for community. It was all right there. And so at the very least, it was the perfect concert to attend if I wasn't going to see any other concerts this year. But I miss it. I don't even so much miss the music being performed as I do the communal experience of seeing a concert. That's the whole point of seeing it. If I just want to hear the artist, I'll stay at home and play their music on my, you know, record player or on Spotify. It's an unintended pitch for their programming. But when I go to a concert, I'm out in a community of people and we're all moving and singing and pumping our fists or having this emotional experience together, maybe an emotional release together. And every person there needed it. That's what's cool, that we needed that communal experience. And so we found a way to release by going to a concert. But what is it for you? Do you need something like that? Do you need to experience an event to feel complete? Or is the idea of completeness something much smaller, something more intimate than a concert setting? Is it you and your pet with a fire going and light music playing, or your favorite TV show, or you're curled up with a book? What is your need? I do like Christmas, but for me, the real joy in the holiday season is the giving. It's not the receiving. My family and friends could tell you that I really have a hard time coming up with things I want for Christmas. And the reason is quite simply because I have overlived my expiration date by 2 times at the very least. I know that I'm already on somebody else's dime. So every day is a gift. If colitis didn't wipe me out, the liver disease, PSC, certainly should have. And the fact that I was on the transplant list actively for years and years and years beyond what most people with this disease would be able to do, it to me means that not only is there, of course, more life to live, but that's all I need to be thankful for. There's a great line in a song by Michael English, and it's called "Don't Think I'm Not Grateful." And it says in there that we go through hell so that we can get to the other side, but that it's also that same hell, if you will, that allows us to grow. If we don't go through that hell, we're not going to grow. It just made me stronger and thankful and grateful. You know, though, there are times throughout a year, throughout a life, where it's not so wonderful, where we go through that hell and we can't find our way back out of it. Even the people in your life, or maybe even you, and you know that there are people who are out there waiting to experience life with you. It's your family. It's a smaller number of friends. Maybe it's your coworkers. But your needs list, if you will, is much greater than your wants list, because on a needs basis, what you need is to connect emotionally, mentally, perhaps spiritually, with your community at large. And yet it's so hard. I've been asked on more than one occasion why it is that I chose to start a podcast to tell my story and to risk exposure, if you will, talking about my addiction. And the reality is that as I look around, and maybe my friends, you see this too, I see so many people struggling to find some sort of meaning in today, to find some sort of purpose in hoping for tomorrow to be better. I know too many friends, too many students of mine who are struggling with deep depression, who are struggling with this idea that they are alone in the world, maybe at that point in their life when they need somebody the most. I see people overdose on the same types of drugs and medications that I was able to come back from. Yes, it breaks my heart. But as has been said many times, prayers and well wishes aren't going to be the only thing that can fix it. We have to start talking about this in a real way. And that is why I decided to do this podcast, so that people know there's at least one example of what it might be like on the other side of that grief, what it might be like on the other side of that addiction, of that pain, of that need to have community, because maybe it was too scary to tell family. Maybe it's too scary to tell your very best friends. Whatever your need is. And so I felt compelled to tell my story. But what is your story? What is your need? Is this a time that's very, very hard for you to get through? Even if you're not alone, you can still feel lonely. And I stop there because I'm sure that there may be some of us listening who feel exactly that. You're never alone, but you are lonely. And what does that loneliness look like for you? I've never really felt lonely. I always seem to be able to connect to somebody. As an emotional addict, especially, if my need isn't being fulfilled with one relationship, emotional relationship, I will find a way to seek it and get it in another emotional relationship. But that's not always healthy. But it does go to that broader idea that my community might help to serve my purpose more than I can get from my direct family, my closest friends, because my needs look different and require my community to step in and help me manage, to help me break through and let go and thrive. But we can't hide away anymore. We have to let others in. We are living in an age where it already seemed as though we were losing people to addiction. We were losing people to suicidal thoughts and actions. And now you put on top of it the isolation that comes with quarantine, that comes with actually having COVID-19, with not being able to spend the holidays with our friends or our family. It breaks us. But we have to understand that what gets broken may be put back together in a different way, some weird Humpty Dumpty sort of thing, where we're broken, but then all, listen to this, the king's horses and all the king's men came rushing in. Now, it doesn't matter what the rest of that story is. The fact was that the community came in to help out old Humpty Dumpty. I feel that way sometimes. I feel as though what's broken in me needs to have somebody from the outside come in and help me fix. Or maybe it's somebody from the outside, somebody from the greater community who helps me see that I'm broken. Again, I also know way too many people who never seem to see the joy in the moment, who can't look past today's sorrow, or they cannot seem to get over yesterday's pain, and they let it define them. Or we live in some sort of paranoia that something bad is always going to happen to us. We need somebody to truly help us navigate that water and help us come out the other side stronger, better, maybe more aware, more caring, more loving, more ready to take on the day, more excited that tomorrow might bring new opportunities, new ways of letting go. When I addressed my closest friends, there were a few people after reflection that I left out of my list. And as I thought back over them, they have been there in some of the strangest times in my life. And maybe I automatically seem to just block some of that out. But their friendships matter so greatly to me that I almost took for granted that they would be there, and I didn't need to mention them. And there's probably people like that in your life. By the way, their names are Andy and Joe and Kyle, my former co-teacher, Deidre. All incredible people who have done amazing things in my life and helped me come through on the other side, my community. These people who, for no other reason than wanting to be vested in my life, started to show up when I least expected it, but when I most needed it. Again, they addressed a need I wasn't aware of. Awesome. But these people exist in your life too, where we don't take that time to slow down and say thank you. Even in our quietest moments, and let me tell you, being quiet isn't necessarily a good thing for some of us. Am I right? It's the scariest, loneliest place to be. It's in a quiet moment. But in those quiet moments, that's when we need to reach out the most. They're not reflective. It's a reminder of our need to have community. And so I kind of want to close on this thought, this idea, that maybe this is the moment. This is our time as a community of people to let go of pain, to let go of maybe one issue in our life that we've been holding on for far too long. Somebody did us wrong. Somebody hurt us. I hurt somebody. Imagine it in your hand and then throwing it away. It's a beautiful idea. And frankly, it's probably the greatest gift that you could receive this holiday season, is to finally be able to let go of the past, this moment. There may be many things, friends, in our past. Believe me, I wouldn't start a podcast if there weren't many things in my own past that I need to let go of. But I'm going to take one, and I want you to join me. Taking just one of those things from our past and imagining it in our hand and then throwing it away. Letting go and letting God. And in that letting go, we have to remember to let in so that we can satisfy not only our want, but our need for community, for communion, a breaking of bread together with people who we may not even know exists, but are out there praying over us, wishing nothing but good thoughts for us in this holiday season. You know, it is a wonderful life. For some of us, it's hard to see it. It's hard to believe it because we feel as though every time something, listen to how this is said, something good goes in my life, there's always something else behind the next door, or I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, or I couldn't be this lucky all the time. We have to change the way we speak, not only to ourselves, but about ourselves. And we need others who can help us see that. You are my chosen others. And I want you to know how much I value you listening to this podcast, but also the feedback that you give. It's critical to my own art of letting go. So I want you to remember the end of the movie when George Bailey's brother walks in. He's a hero, a war hero, and he walks in and he says, "Somebody give me a glass of champagne." He lifts the glass and he says to George Bailey, "The richest man in Bedford Falls." And then he's reminded that no man is lonely who has friends. Let's replace that word friends with community. And let's go out and live it and mean it, not only in the days following Thanksgiving and the weeks up to Christmas, but into 2021 and beyond. Thank you, friends, for listening. I love, love, love spending time with you here on The Art of Letting Go. Until next week, I'm James Steensma. Hey friends, it's James. I want to share with you a statistic from 2017. A survey was done, and 41% of the respondents said that the holidays actually make them depressed. And I can only imagine what that number would be like in 2020. Certainly, it's got to be higher. So how can you and I challenge each other to help out somebody in our community who may be going through the holidays alone and it's causing them sort of distress or depression? One thing we could do is simply send a card, create a card, or make a phone call, send a message. We could even invite them to our own events. These things don't cost money, but they do cost us a little bit of time. And in this day and age, time is the greatest gift we can give. I do want, though, for us to remember that not all of us can get through this holiday season without being that person who gets depressed or feels lonely. If that's you, please pick up the phone and text 741-741. That's the crisis text line. And they are prepared for you to let your guard down and get through this holiday season the way that you deserve, the way that you need, by speaking to them about your own personal crisis during the holiday season. Please do that. And remember, I look forward to spending another half hour with you again next week here on The Art of Letting Go. Until then, I'm James Steensma. Thank you.